I think the house is still sitting. So yeah, I'll just follow up quickly.
Yeah, but you knew that the house is sitting. This is the only time we had.
I just had a division chair, so I think they'll probably join us as soon as I can. There was a division in the National
Assembly. Alan, in Kulilekwa, are the others here? Because we can get going in the meanwhile. They can join us. We're not taking any decisions that are to be voted on at this stage.
Yes,
so,
yeah, Sorry? No, no, I was responding to you, Chair. We have, yes, and so few members that are here.
All right. So, Alan, can you send a message to Mr. Maswangani and let him know we're getting started, we understand, and they can join us, and then he can take over half at the halfway period or, you know, as soon as he comes. I don't really mind. Either way, it doesn't make any difference, right? Mm-hmm. Thing is that I have to use my cell phone because my iPad's gone dead. It's my fault. I should have checked the battery life. So I'm not great. It's one of the first times I'm using my cell phone, but I have no choice because of my stupidity. So, you know, I can't WhatsApp him and all. I'll get lost with the rest of the committee. So let me start by welcoming everybody. It's shortly after 5, 1 minute, 2 minutes after 5 now. We apologize for that. To explain firstly that this meeting flows from a decision taken when we were processing the budget report. And colleagues will remember that various stakeholders came to us representing their claimed clusters, particularly small business, those who spoke on behalf of them within the committee, to say that the VAT returns are not being processed efficiently and effectively enough and speedily enough, and that they were suffering. Some of us in the committee have been receiving such complaints. But it's difficult to process them, as I've explained, because these are like matters around which, one has to be careful about intervening, because tax matters, like criminal justice matters, are not things that the MPs should intervene in, as we've been guided from 1994 onwards. So one's a bit like cautious, unless they can prove to us these people have reached out to some legislative or constitutional provision that's been undermined by the way SARS has behaved, then we can't do much. But for what it's worth, we felt SARS should reply, but then we should have an independent body, obviously. Now, on the NA side, I think they still meet with Ombudsperson once or twice a year. On the NCOP side, because of our different program, we don't do that, not that anything stops us from doing so. So here we are. We apologize to those who are here for the delay in the NA joining us, but this is the time they offered us. And then one of the stakeholders also had some challenges, and I think that too was accommodated. But whatever the reason, we are here now. Let's get going. Let's start with Nkululeko. There's no apologies on the NCOP side, or are there?
No apologies, Chairperson, from NCOP side. But Mr. Shortly.
Mr. Njadu will come in late, will he?
Yes, Chair.
All right, good. And then on the NA side, Alan, you let us know when they're joining us and who's here and who's not. And we can also see it on the participant section. For those who can't, Alan will assist you in that regard. So let's get going. You'll recall that this meeting came from where it does, that actually the main point is to hear the ombudsperson on the issues raised. We wrote to the ombudsperson and explained what it is the focus. It's not on the quarterly report of the ombudsperson. And so on that, the NA will do. Or six-monthly report. It's about the specific issues raised. And I think the report with some other recommendations and the issues raised by the stakeholders were sent to Judge Ngwepe and they were sent to SARS and to Treasury. So all three are here. Let's then hand over to the ombudsperson. You have about 45 minutes. Thank you.
good evening, Chairperson and honorable members and the commissioner as well, and everybody else. I am here, Chairperson, with the Chief Executive Officer of the Office of the Tax Ombud, Professor Lawaila, and four of my senior managers. Just in case you might want to raise some questions, that will be helpful in that regard. But the task falls on me and as the Tax Ombud to make this presentation. You will, if need be, I'm entirely in your hands. If you want to interrupt me after a particular point, I'll oblige. But until you do so, I'll just continue and make my presentation. You might wish that I finish my presentation and only thereafter take some questions. We value this opportunity.
May I suggest that's how we do it? That's how we normally do it. If there are interruptions, then it's a bit unfair to other MPs who don't get an opportunity to pose questions. And it's disruptive. You have submitted the documents and so on, and we've, you know, we have to go through it with you. So what I'm simply saying is that do take your 45 minutes or so. If you feel you don't need 45 minutes, so be it. And then we will follow the program as we have it, if you don't mind. So colleagues, let's follow the normal procedure. Thank
yes,
you.
And my 45 minutes starts now, I suppose.
Yes.
We value this opportunity, Chairperson, because this office serves the public. And we all accept that SARS should have some drastic powers in the exercise of which it should be able to collect maximum tax. We accept that they deal with people who are not always so honest, and therefore those drastic powers are needed. But at the same time, Parliament has deemed it appropriate in its own wisdom to make sure that there will be an office that would, as it were, counterbalance the exercise of such drastic powers to make sure that there is some fairness, and while tax is collected in a fair manner. And that task is the task of the Office of the Tax Ombud. Now, before I could start going directly to the questions you asked, it's imperative to make some remarks, which all of which are contained in the document before you. And I'm going to assume, Chairperson, I believe as I should, that you have read this document. That will make my task easier.
We can go ahead and take it. You don't have to mollycoddle MPs. That's our job, though it comes very, very late, these documents, regrettably. They're meant to be as Thursday. And in fact, while you're speaking, people can also look at the document. So please take it that it's read. Thank you.
Yes. I'll follow the pages as they come in the document. I will guide the honorable members. The first page really, which talks about section 16, is just to remind all of us that what the task of the Office of the Tax Ombud is, as I've just summarized. But it also reminds us that, and this is really relevant to some of the questions that have been raised, and also it clarifies why some of our answers come in the manner in which they do. It is because we wait for complaints to come to our office before we can act. It's only under certain circumstances that the minister himself or herself may take the initiative, and under certain circumstances as well, the office may take the initiative and ask the minister for permission to conduct some investigations, particularly systemic investigations. It is against that background that you will understand some of the answers that we give. Now, if you go to the next page, again, I deal with what I describe as the challenges facing the tax ombud in the execution of its mandate. Now, again, this is relevant because one will have to understand the strictures, constraints, and capabilities under which the office functions before one can understand some of the questions, or rather some of the answers, and indeed why members of the public happened to take some complaints to your good selves. It's because the office operates under certain restrictions and mandates. Now, this is a very important point, Chair. We raised this point earlier on before you, and we are raising it again. The Office of the Tax Ombud must and should structurally be independent, because we will appreciate at once from what I've described that it is this office which should investigate some complaints from the public about SARS and against SARS. Now, it's a strange situation structurally, because the Act has been drafted in such a way that whereas we are supposed to investigate SARS, we are entirely financially controlled by SARS. In fact, there was a time, you might recall, that the Act said the tax ombud is not even allowed to employ people without the permission of SARS. whatever individual we would have wanted to employ, SARS would have to give permission for this office, ironically an office which is supposed to exercise some site oversight, some kind of oversight over SARS, could only employ people through the permission of the very office that we are supposed to investigate. It was so anomalous that mercifully, the then Minister of Finance, Mr. Nene, was able to understand the problem, and the Act was amended to say that we could employ without the permission of SARS. Nevertheless, some very serious restraints still remain. The commissioner is in fact the accounting officer in respect of this office. The reason is this, that when this Act was drafted, somebody just forgot to say, to put in a provision which to say there shall be established the Office of the Tax Ombud. As matters stand, I started the office with three people, and I grew this office to the point where there are some 45 people. But there is nowhere in the Act where provision is made for the establishment of the Office of the Tax Ombud. The situation is therefore that we are operating as an office which legally that office does not exist. I can challenge anybody to point out any provision in the Act, and I can take anybody on a debate about that. Any provision which established this office with a huge office, but which has not legally established. And there are serious consequences for that. One of which is that monies that SARS, that we get, which initially are in fact through the budget of SARS, are being diverted to run, in inverted commas, an office which in law does not exist. I've time and again and time and again pointed out the two previous ministers and say, please let us regularize this unlawful position by establishing the Office of the Tax Ombud. In fact, I went so far as to get the services of GTEC, a specialized agency, to investigate possible forms and shapes which the Office of the Tax Ombud could take in being established. And I submitted, and a lot of money was spent to investigate that. They made recommendations as to the most cost-effective form which this office could take. But what happened? The two previous ministers not even responded to my correspondence in that regard until recently when the new minister came, and I pointed out these anomalies to him and said, it's unlawful for anybody to speak of the Office of the Tax Ombud. No such office exists. He was shocked. He immediately initiated proceedings to meet with me so that we could deal with this anomalous situation. Why we allow such a situation for 8 years to exist in this country, I don't know. And my point is this, and I am complaining bitterly about this. Why do we establish institutions which are supposed to protect the rights of people, and yet we don't capacitate those institutions? In fact, in the case of the Office of the Tax Ombud, not only did we fail to capacitate the office, but we actively incapacitated the office by making sure that it cannot operate free of SARS. And somebody many years ago, when I raised this point, he said to me, oh, are you surprised that the Act is drafted like this? It is because it was drafted by SARS itself. That is why it's like this. That has got so many constraints. Shall we, honorable members, please make sure that we do things according to the law and we push the minister, especially because he has shown some willingness to try and legally establish the Office of the Tax Ombud, which legally does not exist. Nevertheless, for the purpose of the discussion this evening, I shall refer to the Office of the Tax Ombud, which we know in law does not exist. And that has been an anomalous situation. Against that background, Chairperson, I'm going then to try and deal with some of the issues that arise. I mentioned earlier on that, please understand, when we are unable to answer some of these questions, simply understand it's because of these restraints that have been placed against us, this incapacitation of the Office of the Tax Ombud. I'm leaving this office, I'm finishing my term at the end of September. Throughout my period, I've been trying to get the government of the Republic of South Africa to establish the Office of the Tax Ombud. And I hope that will happen before I leave Of course, not without your assistant chairperson and honorable members. Now, let me then turn to the questions, specific questions that were directed at us. If we can just go on to the next page, somebody in charge of the screen, and then the next one. Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Oh, yes, thanks. Oh, yes, for your convenience, Chairperson and Honorable Members, we have tried to identify certain problems that we had, certain issues that we've been having with SARS. We work well with SARS. We cooperate very well with SARS. And even though I said the commissioner is the accounting officer, they don't put a financial constraint on us. They cooperate with us. But yes, nevertheless, we do have some issues with SARS. That table tells you that, just an example, the first point there, delay in payment of refunds. That problem has been on our radar for about 102 months. But it should be said that, of course, in the process, individual cases were resolved from time to time. But that problem still persists. You will not be surprised because you probably got some complaints from some people about that. And then the second point is the constant problem we have with SARS about non-adherence to the prescribed dispute resolution procedures. Just to explain briefly, when you're supposed to do certain things, SARS expects of you to comply within a certain period of time. But we are unhappy with SARS because when it is their turn to do certain things within a certain given period of time, they are not always in a hurry to comply. Now, those are the issues that we have. And those months that you see there, that is the period for which each such point has been on the radar. We are in the process of wrestling with SARS about these issues because they impact negatively on taxpayers. They demoralize taxpayers. We hope that at some point we'll be able to resolve them, especially if you strengthen the office in the manner that I've suggested. I don't have to go into this. Those are just examples. We can move on to the next page if we are able to. I'm not in control of the screen, Chairperson. I don't even know how to do that. I'm now dealing with the specific questions.
The secretary handles that, or in fact, you know, the admin people on your side will either part please facilitate so that the ombud is able to manage his...
Thank you very much. I'm grateful, yes. Chairperson, one of the issues, the complaints that you received from the public is SARS perceived in equitable conduct about compliant taxpayers in the manner in which they handle them, etc., etc. But we are saying that. Chairperson, to the extent that there is indeed inequitable conduct as alleged, and I'm saying that is a very guarded statement because we have not conducted an investigation into that. So we are making a guarded statement to say we are not denying, nor are we saying there's indeed that kind of conduct. But for our part, we are saying that to the extent that there is, the OTO invites Parliament or any other party to share information on this issue to enable us to conduct investigation to the extent that our mandate will allow us to. We are quite open, and I must go back to mention that in terms of the mandate, we are restricted. We've got to wait for complaints to come to us unless it's issues of systemic problems. That is why we say, please let us have those complaints to enable us to conduct them. The next one is taxpayer dissatisfaction with SARS services has increased, you observe, as evidenced by the number of operational queries received from members of the professional tax bodies. Chairperson, the number of complaints received by the OTO, the totality of it has not increased, but it is true. So that what has increased is the public.
Sorry, I think, Ombud, there's interference in on your side. I think it's sorted now. In Kulileko, do you know what's going on? Have we lost Ombud?
The Ombud is still muted.
The judge needs to unmute. Can you unmute yourself, judge?
Judge?
Sorry, my apologies. I'm told I muted myself. Yes, I was saying the next issue that you raised, you brought to our attention, is that taxpayer dissatisfaction with such services has increased, as evidenced by the number of operational queries received from members of the professional tax bodies. Actually, the number of complaints received by this office in general has not increased. However, it is true, though, that the number of complaints from professional bodies has indeed increased. And as you can see that there at the bottom, the figures speak for themselves. Now, the next point, SARS is not taking responsibility for its actions, such as the identity theft of taxpayer profiles. And this could have very serious implications, as you can imagine, to taxpayers. We have heard this allegation before from taxpayers in relation to identity theft, especially with regard to theft on e-filing. The issue was, in fact, also raised in SAICA communication to its members. We know that because of our interaction with SAICA. And that communication suggested constant engagements between SARS and SAICA on this subject. It is a live topic, in other words. It's a live subject. Actually, as we say, SARS did, in fact, on 8 December 2021, issue a media statement to say that they were addressing the issue. We have no reason to believe that they are not addressing the issue, and we hope that the issue will be addressed, because as I say, it's causing serious hardships on the taxpayers. And based on the information available, this office, the OTO, did not consider it necessary to conduct certain investigation into the allegations as a systemic issue. But if the OTO can receive more information about this issue and the problems it causes, we would not hesitate to investigate, to conduct an investigation. There is therefore some substance in the complaint, but we also say that we have been told by SARS that they are addressing the matter, and we have no reason not to believe that they will do so. Then the next point, SARS conduct during VAT audits, such as withholding VAT and diesel refunds, violate taxpayers' rights. Well, yes, this is a very thorny issue with which you have been wrestling for many years. But it is true, though, that the OTO is aware of this, and it has repeatedly, regrettably, raised this matter with SARS. And we're trying to give some examples there which people can go through them. For example, we say SARS conducts audits on VAT and would wrongfully, in our respective view, withhold refunds on periods that do not fall under the audit period. What we mean thereby is that a person would be found to be entitled to a refund for a particular period. And instead of SARS refunding that person, SARS will then conduct an audit on a subsequent or a different period, while at the same time withholding the refund that had been found to be due in respect of a different period. We don't think that is what the law says. When taxpayers complain about its actions, as I say, SARS would extend the scope of the audit to include the VAT periods that were not covered in the initial audit. This would be, in our view, as it were, an attempt by SARS to remedy its non-compliance with the law regarding the previous period that is now not under audit. Then we give an example there. In one of the cases received by the OTO, SARS took almost 2 years to finalize the audit while withholding refunds in excess of some 70 million rand. SARS only revised assessments to the value of 1.6 million and paid more than 6 million in interest on the delayed refunds. SARS did not respond to the OTO's request when we inquired as to the legal basis on which such as withholding was made. And then we refer to a case there which members could read at their own time. But really that case is saying, no, SARS. If somebody, you cannot withhold the refund in respect of a previous period for the reason that you are conducting audit in respect of a different period. In the meantime, please pay the refund. That's really an oversimplification of the case there. So the summary on this point is that yes, Chairperson and honorable members, there is such a problem. And it impacts negatively on the cash flow of some businesses, and which could result in lending some serious difficulties. The next point, the inefficiency with which SARS handles disputes negatively affects the small businesses, including those in business rescue. This is the point that you raised with us. And our response is that SARS inefficiencies in attending to tax dispute resolution, in fact, affect all taxpayers, not just SMEs. But based on the empirical data available, it is clear that companies are affected more than other taxpayers. It's a serious problem. This has already been raised repeatedly by the OTO and most notably in its report issued in 2020 after we had conducted a systemic investigation. Then we deal with the issue of the objections, and I'm going to sum this up. We're saying that objections take too long. They should be disposed of within a short period of time. And we give there an example. We say between February and March 2022, there was an increase from less than 40 business days to more than 100 business days delays in time for that took times to finalize some of the objections. There is some inordinate delays, which in our view should really be avoided. And there we set our examples. We show how appeals take long to be disposed of. And we say that it is of major concern to us. For example, a typical appeal should not take us more than 120 business days to finalize. And we explain why. Yet only a very small portion of appeals move beyond the alternative dispute resolution process, and are referred to the tax board and the tax court. The point that we are making, and I just want to sum up this point, the point that I'm making here is that it is possible to dispose of some of these appeals within a shorter period of time. And it is therefore understandable that members of the public could be having some of these problems. I said earlier on that we work well with SARS, but where it's necessary, we friendly cross swords in the interest of taxpayers. I just want to sum up the point that I'm making earlier on. It's a very serious issue we need to look at it. In fact, I've argued in the memorandum that I submitted to the minister that to the extent that you people keep on saying that you took money to expend the money on the Office of Tax Ombud is irregular. In fact, I have good reason to believe that the Auditor General could take some people to task if I were to raise the issue loudly to say that you say you expended some money in respect of the Office of the Tax Ombud. Show me where that office is. Show me any law which established that kind of office. And I can demonstrate that for years and years, I've been saying, let us regularize this position. It's not being done. It is wrong, wrong, wrong. Thank you, Chairperson.
Are you done, Ombud?
I'm done. Thank you very much. Lo and behold, I'm done.
Anything from your team would like to add?
Yes, the CEO.
Does he want to say anything?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Not at this stage. I would respond to any direct questions that there could be.
Sorry, CEO, can we just wait for a moment? The National Assembly Committee joined us. I only noticed that 5 minutes ago, but I didn't want to disturb you on that. Presumably shortly after we started, co-chairperson Joe Maswangami is here. Joe, we did explain that you caught up in a vote, so you couldn't come, but you'd join us shortly thereafter. So if you want to...
We had a long program at the NA. We had to vote on IEC and other related matters.
Yeah,
I know that... For holding the fort.
Yeah, so you can take over now or you can take over halfway. I don't really mind. Whatever you...
Proceed for now, otherwise I will confuse the
right.
Judge the presentation.
Deliberations of the second half, perhaps you can take over then. All right. So there are just two points, National Assembly members, that the Ombud raised, which are very important for us. The first was that, you know, they don't have independence, really, from SARS. So they have to hold SARS to account. But, I mean, you know, there's an absurdity that, you know, they effectively under SARS. Now we, Joe and other members, the new members from the NA, Dickalady will recall, she's the only one overlapping with the last term. We had taken a decision recommending to National Treasury and SARS, it's National Treasury that brings the bills, that we don't agree with this arrangement, that there must be independence, and we asked them why there wasn't. If I recall correctly, they gave us some answer that we weren't entirely convinced about. So maybe, Alan, you'll recall, and Zakele and Antonio Manamela, what is the final decision? But I think we need to find that decision so that the new NA members and even the NCOP members know what we decided. But the second thing, Joe and others, they raised, which is quite worrying, there is no legislative provision for actually the office. So in law, it doesn't exist. So it operates presumably in terms of the SARS Act and in terms of some provision there that allows for such a structure and in terms of possibly regulations, if they're such. Now that too, co-chairperson, I don't think the majority of us are going to agree with. But instead of a lame, tame recommendation as regard, the committee has decided what our majority of us want to do at the end of this session. The Ombud said to us finally, NA members, I don't know when you came in by that time, that his term ended in September. He would very much like to see a process of that legislation before Parliament, and that's what the majority can reflect on. Okay, over then to you, CEO. Sorry for that. I just have to welcome the NA members for the reasons I explained. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was just, I just said before you welcomed the NA members that I do not have any comments at this stage. We will comment on any questions or clarification points that any of the honorable members might have. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Noxy, is it just you that can't hear me or is it the meeting in general? Can you people hear me?
We're hearing you perfectly, Chair.
I think, Noxy, it's
yes,
your...
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm sorry, sweetheart, it's your signal,
yes,
really.
Yes, you can hear your chat.
God, you see, I'm stuck here with a what? I explained to the meeting, I don't know how to handle this very well. I'll move back to my iPad shortly, but I'm stuck with my cell phone. Maybe that partly explains it. I don't know how to use a cell phone very efficiently, but I'll be back on my iPad, Noxy. Maybe that will help in a few minutes. Okay, so can we move on then? Next, of course, is SARS. Now, SARS. Can I suggest we very much welcome the commissioner. He's actually in the U.S. at the moment, And, you know, we discussed it with him, Joe, and I think he reached out to you as well, and explained that it's not possible to postpone this because there isn't another week left before this quarter. And our resolution or recommendation in the budget report was to meet this quarter. So he's made himself available from the U.S., which we're grateful for. And over to you. The idea is for you to respond, Commissioner and your team, quickly in 15 minutes or so. Although we've got a bit of time because the Umber took less time. Then National Treasury will come in. But the idea isn't of a long, expansive reply. That's what you normally do when you appear with your quarterly reports on the NA side, and you can send us a written representation. But do go ahead, 15 minutes, and if you want an extra 5 minutes given the time, I'm sure that's okay. But not more than 20 minutes, you and your team, Commissioner. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And I certainly welcome the extra 5 minutes. Chair, also just for members to know that I'm in the U.S. currently to attend my daughter's graduation, which was yesterday, 2 years delayed because of COVID. Let me just first say that to all the honorable members, the chairpersons, members of the committees, members of the media, and any member of the public who may be listening, and also acknowledge the presence of Judge Mwepe and his team from the OTO. We are really clear that the role of Parliament is to hold us to account, and this meeting is an excellent example of Parliament indeed doing so. And I want to state unequivocally that we take the role of the Office of the Tax Ombudsman seriously. And whilst I'm not going to respond to the issues raised by the judge initially, I want to say without fear of contradiction that there is nothing presently in our relationship that compromises the independence of the office in any way, save for the fact that both the judge and myself go to National Treasury with the begging bowl. We don't decide on our own monies. But other than that, there is nothing in practice that compromises the independence of the taxpayer ombudsman. We've raised before, Chair, that we live in a constant balance between having to manage service to taxpayers and risk to the fiscus. And in an environment that is increasingly rife with crime and corruption, this work has become even harder. Notwithstanding, we regard every service failure as one too many. And COVID-19 has also presented us with challenges in the way we work. We've not only responded to this, but I believe we've used the opportunity presented by the pandemic to accelerate our reform. We also need to accelerate our modernization and fast-track our own ability to learn. And much of this is a function of resources available to us. I want to respond specifically, honorable members, that SARS has a legal mandate to collect all revenue that's due and to improve compliance and facilitate legitimate trade. In terms of the substantive issues raised by the Ombudsman, I'd like to respond as follows. That I take any aspersion on the professional behavior and integrity of SARS, honorable members, as a serious matter, which every one of us should be concerned about because it has far-reaching consequences for our democracy, especially in the current context where crime and corruption proliferates and our work has become extremely hard. Notwithstanding this, you have my assurance as the Commissioner of SARS, and enjoined in that is every employee at SARS, that every instance of unprofessional or even unlawful conduct by any member of SARS, that you can be assured as the lawmakers, those who hold us accountable, but also the members of the public, you can be assured that to the extent that specific instances are brought to our attention, it will be dealt with the seriousness it deserves. Because it is better to respond in that way than to make generalized aspersions of the integrity of SARS. We welcome feedback. It is helpful if it is specific because it helps us to respond. I think it's important that we acknowledge the fact that many taxpayers anxiously await for their refunds, and that we continuously work hard to find ways to conduct our work and investigations without unnecessary delays. There is no interest in us to hold back a refund on a taxpayer without cause. And I want to make that very clear. I think it's important, honorable members and the committee, that one of the most significant trend shifts we deal with is the move away from manual processing to automated processing. It is within our mandate that every declaration submitted by a taxpayer has to be assessed. We receive 20 million individual tax returns and 3.5 million export declarations and 3.9 million import declarations, every one of which has to be assessed. Every assessment outcome has to be followed up and implemented. Every dispute that arises must be resolved. We simply cannot manage this growing volume of work by conducting assessments, implementing assessment outcomes, and resolving disputes through manual work. It is increasingly incumbent on us to build an intelligent system that feeds off data and that uses machine learning algorithms and artificial intelligence to do this. Otherwise, we simply cannot complete the volume of work within the times permitted. Let me give you some of the volumes that will give you a good sense.
Chairperson?
Chair, I'm just pausing for you to acknowledge.
Sorry.
What is it?
Yeah. If I may, Chairperson, I have called the attention of the commissioner that there's a lady at the back who's busy, if he can attend to that, because it's destructive.
All right. Commissioner, can you manage that?
That might be a good one. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Just a second, Chair.
I think you might be muted now.
Thank you, Chair. We have to check out of the hotel, and so we're trying to multitask, but we'll pause that for now. Chair, so let me use a few examples to give you a sense of the point I'm making around this shift from manual to automated work. Our register has grown from just under 6 million taxpayers in 2006 to 24 million taxpayers in 2022. And we receive, of the 24 million registered, we get 18 million RP5 certificates reported each year. In 2006, the 4 million tax returns were submitted at our branch offices, most of them, and only 120,000 would have been filed electronically. Currently, we process 7.3 million returns. Only 344,000 is submitted at our branch offices, and 4 million is filed electronically. And we have also added a feature where 3 million taxpayers are auto-assessed, which means they have to do virtually nothing. And we can only do that by using data and artificial intelligence. But the use of data is not a linear one-way bet, because ultimately the work we do depends on quality data. And in 2006, it would have taken a taxpayer 180 days on average to receive an assessment outcome. Today, most taxpayers, 93% of them, would be assessed in under 5 seconds. That's an exponential shift from 180 days to under 5 seconds. The majority of taxpayers would have experienced no intervention and would have been assessed, processed, and refunded, completely making use of the data to the extent that the data is accurate. This work has also allowed SARS to prevent the outflow of, in the case of personal income tax, 10 million of impermissible refunds. 25% of these cases, however, relate to third-party data mismatches. And here we have a big problem, which is a problem that we struggle with every day. Let me give you some examples of these. Firstly, we have low levels of compliance from employers, and increasingly employers who submit us with incorrect information or do not submit us information creates downstream challenges for taxpayers themselves. And we raise this with employers, but it's still a huge problem that we are paying attention to. Over the last 24 months, there's been extensive work to address this, but we are far from where we need. Our current pay-as-you-earn level of compliance is still below 60%. But I think the numbers that the Ombudsman raises has to be seen in context, and this is evidenced by the fact that we have increased, while reducing the number of cases that we select for verification, we have increased significantly the value that we extract out of that in terms of impermissible refunds. To give you a sense of that, in 2017, we had 6.5 billion of impermissible refunds that we detected from 1.5 million cases. In 2021, that number was almost 8 billion from 1.2 million cases. And in the last year, from 1.4 million cases, that value was almost 10 billion. In 2006 also, through manual processing, a taxpayer would have waited on average 50 days for a refund. Today, 82% of refunds are paid within 72 hours for individual taxpayers, totaling of 3 billion. And to anyone who believes that SARS is manipulating that, I would happily accept the evidence thereof. But here's what the evidence bears out. Last year, SARS not only exceeded the revenue collection estimate set by the minister, we also paid out 20 billion rand more in refunds than what was in the estimate provided by the minister, which means that there can be no evidence that SARS is holding back refunds because it is trying to influence the revenue collection outcomes. And again, I say if there's any specific evidence in that regard, then we would happily receive it. On the instance that was raised by the judge specifically, there has been a practice that we have addressed. The basis in law to conduct, to hold back refunds, there is a basis in law to hold back refunds when multiple years are investigated by an audit. What we may not do is to hold back a refund before or if we have not informed the taxpayer of an audit. We have addressed that. And again, to the extent that examples of that may still appear, we would happily address those. In terms of disputes, we are seeing a steady downtrend in the number of disputes. In 2018-19, we had just on 200,000 objections and 11,300 appeals. That this year is down to 136,000 objections and 8,251 appeals. 90% of them, so by the way, that's 1.45% of all returns submitted, which is significantly below the OECD norm of 10%. 90% of those have been finalized within an average of 43 working days. The allowable time for the resolution of a dispute, which is simple, is 60 days, and the further 45 days if complex. The issue that I think we would seek appreciation by the members is the proportionality of taxpayers who receive a seamless experience has significantly increased over the number of years. That also places a bigger spotlight on the work we do, which means that every instance of failure, now that there is a higher expectation of SaaS performance, is amplified, and we accept that, and taxpayers shouldn't let us off the hook as far as that is concerned. We accept we have to do a lot more work in terms of cleaning up the third-party data. We work hard with employers for the IRP data. We work with the banks, with medical schemes and other sources of data, because as I have said before, it will simply be impossible. We have no other option than to employ third-party data sources to impose on that increasingly machine learning algorithms and automated outcomes, because we simply will not be able to do the workload within the times permitted. We already are struggling as it is. But I think the proportionality of that has to be taken into account. And I will pause here for a moment and we can come back to some of the specific data by just sharing some of the VAT cases, because that is also an issue. In 2022, one out of 10 VAT submission was submitted for verification. VAT turnaround time for verification has been completed on average within 27 days. 55% of those cases are linked to late submissions by the taxpayers, and that carries a high adjustment rate of 26 billion, whilst on-time submissions, there's a lower selection rate for that, and that carries an adjustment rate of 14.7. But the importance of us doing the verification work on VAT within the 27 days still yields a value of over 40 billion of money that would otherwise flow out of the fiscus.
We should start rounding up, please, because you can put some of this on paper and you'll get another chance towards the end.
Yeah.
It's just to encourage an exchange with yourselves and Ombud and National Strategy. So if you can round up next 2-3 minutes, please.
Sure. So I think I will make the general point, Chair and honorable members, to say that we are mindful, and it pains us that there are still instances where taxpayers are frustrated. We appeal that be seen in the context that significantly more volumes of work are being done by us today, that significantly more of our taxpayers receive a seamless experience, and that we are working hard to identify and respond to every instance of failure, which we believe over time will reduce. But that is dependent, has high interdependencies with the providers of third-party data. And we invite specific feedback to us. We will take that with the seriousness it deserves. Let me pause here, Chair, and later on when there are questions, we can come back to give specific responses. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Over to Treasury. Who's going to speak on behalf of Treasury? Could you come in, please?
Okay, Chair, I'll come in.
Okay, good.
Okay, Chair. Let me thank you, Chair, and honourable members, and to the judge and commissioner and their staff. Chair, I think you know, the sort of opening remarks of the judge, I think we've always said as a Treasury, I hear his frustration, and I think we understand very clearly that, you know, the Ombuds Office, I think, is extremely important for taxpayers. So we definitely recognize their role and the need to be more autonomous as an institution. The reason why we haven't, and I know we've come before and said we would be doing the legislation pretty soon, but the reason why we also haven't is we have a proposal to respond to the Nugent recommendations, because they've also recommended, for example, an Inspector General's office. There's also debate out there about whether SARS has a board or not. And we've been just taking into account a lot of those proposals, and we do have some draft proposals. We also had to wait, Chair, because some of the SARS issues then also appeared at the Zondo Commission. And as you know, there's also a report that the Commission has released on SARS or the capture of SARS. And the President has said that, you know, that government will await the final report and recommendations of the Commission, which, as you know, we expect to be, I think the date is the 15th of June, and that government will then respond comprehensively to the report and findings of the Commission. So we felt that we should also just await that final report to see if there's any further proposals that the Commission is going to be making with regard to SARS and the whole text environment. So, Chair, we certainly hear the judge in that respect. We've also looked at the report. We do have some issues with the report, and we do think that we need to look at, for example, the whole concept of sharing services and so on. And we've already taken some steps, like ensuring that, I think like the Commissioner has pointed out, when firstly, there's not much money that's been allocated, and indeed, we've heard the Commissioner complain as well, and many entities that just given the pressures on the budget, it's not been easy to allocate to institutions what they may need, just given the nature of their work. But, and that's a separate process. So what we've done, Chair, is to obviously ensure that the budget is determined in the budget process between what SARS and what goes to the Ombud. But I accept that they are still, it's still tied into the SARS process. And certainly when we separate out and make the Ombud's office much more autonomous, that it will not have that dependency on SARS, because I think, as you've rightly pointed out, you can't have the institution that's providing some oversight being sort of, you know, under your control in any way. So that is recognized. But having said that, I think there are different models on the Ombuds office that you have internationally. And I don't think you can also compare them to, for example, in the financial sector, other Ombuds that we have, just given the nature of taxation and obviously the need for the state for revenue. So we, in a sense, also have an interest that on the one hand that the revenue comes, on the other hand, to protect the rights of taxpayers and of citizens more generally. So I think, you know, we certainly hear what the Honorable Judge has been saying. But yes, it has taken a bit longer than anticipated. But we do hope that within the next year, we will actually have the legislation and for the entire framework that comes from the Nugent and the Zondo Commission proposals and findings. Chair, just on the other issues, I don't think there's much to say. I mean, I think as members well know, we don't know specific instances of taxpayers and their complaint, given that tax matters are confidential. And so only SARS can address that. And certainly, I think the Commissioner has been attempting to do that. And I think we all understand that in our interest to ensure that SARS can deal with issues as speedily as possible with taxpayers. And I think those points are taken, and I think the Commissioner appears to me to be committed to that. But in this environment, I think we accept that it's not just good faith and getting statements from everyone about what they want to do. We do need to hold us all to account as public servants. And in a sense, the mechanisms that I think that we are talking about that will be in place will enrich the system in that respect. So, Chair, I think I'll stop there. Don't have much more to say. Chair, I do have some time pressures in about 20 minutes. I have to go to another function, but the rest of the treasury team is here, Yanga and Chris and others. Thank you, Chair. So if I may be excluded.
I just want to say one thing, Momo. I know you for thousands of years, right? And sometimes you can be very silent. And we've challenged you on whether it's appropriate for a civil servant to be so activistic. But today you see, but I don't know whether Joe agrees. I mean, I don't think he knows you because we are in a different generation, age-wise, whether he knows you as well as I do. But today you spoke like a Durko representative, you know, like a UN managing, all so balanced and all sweet. And so this is the other Momo, right? I don't know if it's age, coverage, or what it is, but then you've been so, you say all the nice things. But we'll come back to you and your team will let you know what you think. But all right, Momo, you're obviously excused. Co-chair, it's about time, I think, you take over. You're about halfway there. So we're a few minutes ahead of time. So I'll hand over to you, chairperson, and I've got a few questions that I'll ask at the end after members have spoken. Thanks, co-chair. Over to you.
Thanks, Comrade Yunus. Thanks, Judge Moepe, Commissioner Kiseta, and Momo on behalf of National Treasury. Honorable members, we are now in item six, deliberations. That's questions for clarity and comments. I see two hands for now, Dr. George, Dennis Ryder. Dr. George, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to keep my video off due to connectivity. I am troubled, actually, by the fact that what the judge has said about the problem that he has with the establishment and the budget of the office. That is very troubling, given that the judge mentions that he has raised this issue with former ministers of finance, and that currently the current minister of finance has now does appear to be paying some attention to it. The question I would want to ask the judge is that you have raised a number of issues pertaining to a service at SARS that have come up that you as the ombud need to are looking into, etc. Is the work of the Office of the Ombud impacted by the fact that it is not then formally established and that the budget is basically reliant on SARS? I mean, SARS has already indicated that it's under budget. It's already said that to Parliament. So the complexity becomes then that the role of the ombud is to balance the relationship, which is heavily skewed towards SARS when the relationship between the taxpayer and SARS is considered. So that is very troubling as a member of Parliament to hear that the ombud may well be hobbled in that way. So I would like to hear whether it has impacted on his ability to do the functions that he needs to do. And that is basically to balance more that relationship between the taxpayer and SARS. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. George. Over to you, Honorable Ryder, then Ocamp.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I hope my signal holds. As you see from the decor, I'm in Acacia Park, and it's not the best signal here. So let me start by saying, Judge Mwepe, I think if you're finishing up in September, this is probably the last time you'll be seen with us from the NCOP side. So just from my point of view, all the best. I'm not sure if it's a retirement or a change of function, but I think you've led an illustrious career and in the service of South Africa. So thank you, and we wish you all the best wherever life might take you going forward. So I think, chairpersons, I'm feeling a little bit vindicated by the comments that we made initially and the contents of the presentation from the ombud. And I think that let's take a few things out of that. And Mr. Kieswetter should note that even then we were full of praise for the work of SARS, and I think we remain full of praise for the work of SARS. But if one considers the trends that came out of the presentation that we received from the Ombud, that I think is the part that we need to focus on a little bit, and just look at how the type of complaints and how it's migrated over the last couple of years, and where the complaints are coming from. So the fact that the complaints are coming from the tax practitioners more and more, I think is quite concerning, and I believe that it's an issue that SARS needs to take note of. And I do urge you, Commissioner, to take the tone of the discussion then and probably today as well, as a constructive one, to say we acknowledge you guys are doing a fantastic job, you're exceeding your targets, and the majority of your issues are dealt with timelessly, speedily, et cetera, et cetera. But the problem that we raised then, and I made it quite clear when we raised it the first time, is that as soon as something that is moves out of the vanilla space, as soon as there's a little bit of complexity or a need for further discussion, that's when the wheels fall off. And the reality is, and I'm looking at the dispute resolution and audits. So obviously that's where we sit with a case where a little bit of deeper scratching needs to go and a little bit more complex issues arise. And I believe that that's part of the problem that we're experiencing with SARS. And one of the issues, Commissioner, from my assessment of my discussions with many people and organizations, is the fact that it's incredibly difficult to communicate with SARS. Now, I'm involved personally in a series of things, and the no reply at sars.gov.za is going to be the most frustrating email address to ever receive a correspondence from, because it is no reply. You can't reply to that. You can't engage in a conversation. You can't get someone to sit down and focus on your issues. And in my issue, I have now found that person, and I'm busy dealing with that constructively, so I'm quite happy. But many people don't have the same luxury that I have. And the fact is that we recently did a test, and SARS came out very well in terms of answering their telephones. But the reality is that there's a number that's advertised on the internet, and it's 0860 number. And it's on the SARS website, SARS e-filing as well. Now, understanding that if you happen to be overseas, you can't get through to an 0860 number. If you look up a number on the internet, there's a different number that comes up, and it's the 011602 number. Now, that number sometimes gets answered and often doesn't. So there's a problem with that information. Interestingly, there's a different number that we tried, 012-422-4000, which gets answered all the time. But to get to that information is quite difficult for someone who is not sitting in South Africa and trying to find a way of getting in touch with people. It's just one example. So the email, noreply@sars.gov.za, the telephones that generally get answered, I must be honest, when you got the right number. But then it's a case of getting to the right person who has the track record and understands exactly what you're talking about. So, and then the next time you phone in, you've got to explain from scratch, because it's a different person that ends up answering the call, and you can't be put through to the same person twice in a row. So just some issues, Commissioner, that I've certainly picked up. And I do think that the presentation from the Ombud really echoes the comments and the complaints that I've been receiving in the course of our oversight business as well. And then I think that perhaps, one of the issues I want to pick up is again, in terms of your external communication as well, the issue about people being treated fairly. There were fair treatment was the phrase that the Ombud used. And I think that's really what most people want to see. I mean, I don't think anyone likes paying tax, but many people, you know, most of us accept that we have to pay tax and so on, but we want to be treated fairly. And we perceive that we're not being treated fairly, I think that's particularly where people start to get angry and frustrated with SARS, and that's where they start to complain, because they feel like they're being treated differently. So people that are audited every single year for their income tax, people that are not receiving their VAT refunds timelessly when other people are receiving theirs timelessly. And then people, of course, who get harsh consequences and penalties for non-payment of certain taxes. And I'm not seeing the same thing going out against other people. And I mean, so let's be controversial and name the African National Congress as an organization that was not paying their PAYE for quite some time. The fact is that SARS has been very silent on what has become a very high-profile issue, and it hasn't stated, you know, what consequences there have been for that. And I think the whole country is waiting to see and hear, you know, am I being treated differently from the African National Congress? So, Chair, I will, obviously the elephant in the room for SARS today relates to the game farm robbery of President Ramaphosa. And while it doesn't really relate to the matters at hand right now, again, it's a case of, I think people are crying for communication. There hasn't been any word from SARS. It's an important issue that SARS needs to address. And even if you don't have the facts, I think it's, you know, even just saying that might be the responsible thing to do in order to manage the perceptions. You know, one needs to read the Bible and see how what the sentiments of people were towards tax collectors 2,000 years ago. I think it's changed a little bit and we like you a little bit more than in those days, but let's keep it like that. Thank you, Chairpersons.
Thank you, Honorable Ryder. Akbare Okamp.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. Yeah, it's always very easy to ask questions after my colleagues, Dr. George and Honorable Ryder, spoke. So I have been covered. I would just also like to echo the sentiments towards our gratitude towards Judge Mwepe. Judge, thank you very much for a life full of service to this country. We really appreciate that. And then also just the echo of treatment to be fair towards everybody. People are expected to pay their taxes on time, and so they should. But I think in return, they should also expect to get their refunds back in time. Honorable Chairperson, for the rest, I have been covered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Akbar. Okay, for now, those are the three contributions. Judge Mwepe, National Treasury Commissioner Kesetta, over to you.
Chairperson, can I come in? I'll ask my questions at the end. Is that okay? After they've spoken, no. I just want to raise the issues. That's okay.
Okay, Communist, you can ask the questions.
Yeah. Well, firstly, you know, Chairperson, I said, I don't know if you were here then. I think you were, that Ellen and Antonia, because she's the tax person, should actually find that recommendation, or whatever it was, observation or whatever, that I think we took about 3 years ago, where we said that we would like legislation that defines the specific role of Ombud, but more importantly at that stage, the focus was on operational independence. We were very clear across all political parties, Chairperson. So we need to find that. And secondly, I would like to suggest that while I hear more and more that, look, it's a new gen commission, but we've been hearing this for 2 years and more. While we understand the constraints under which National Treasury functions in this regard, and now the Zondo Commission report is covering SARS and so on, I think there must be some signal that there's significant progress in that regard. So, you know, the judge said, well, you know, he vacates the office in September and he'd like to see this happen. Well, that's not possible, I think, given that it's June, with due respect, Judge. But what we can at least get, given your experience, is a commitment that there has been some engagement to start the ball rolling. I don't believe, will those who are here from Treasury reply to this, right, that we can wait for what Momo says within a year. And within a year could mean June, what is it, 1st next year, or 6th. No, Chairperson, I would like to recommend that the majority consider this, that we take a resolution at today's meeting, that the process should begin within the next month, that there should be full consultation with the judge and his team from the Ombud office, and that We can get a report. What stops us? I think it's to your committee, or we can have a joint meeting. It doesn't matter. But as long as your committee does the squatting report anyway over SARS and Treasury, then maybe we can take a resolution here that, you know, by the judge says the case of September, by, well, end of August, report back. Or I don't know when the judge leaves, at the beginning or end of September. Well, if it's end of September, then mid-September. And if it's the 1st of September, then by the 3rd or 4th week of August, a report back from Treasury, Ombuds, SARS, and National, before, preferably your committee alone, but, you know, maybe both committees, or either committee, where we can get to have such a meeting, that we want to know what progress has been in that regard. And the judge should be invited, Chairperson, I think. Obviously, the majority agree from both committees. The judge should be invited to write to us, actually, and tell us by the first, say, the middle of August, where things are and what proposals he's got. So that, you know, if things get going by then, which is what we want, but, you know, obviously they will not be complete, then we know what it is that he thinks. And we will see to it what we agree with in regard to what he thinks should be done, and put that as pressure. We could, Chairperson, also decide that if there's no progress, which is what I'd strongly recommend, but obviously a lot of it I will carry with the majority, that we do a private member's motion. Chairperson, we've done this before. You might have heard about the PIC. We weren't getting traction, and we kept being told, yes, yes, yes. Finally, we said, fine, we're going ahead, and we did do, with the help of the Legal Services Unit, a private member's bill, and finally, you know, the President, during your term of office, actually promulgated that, right? We did it before and we can do it again. And here there's a lot of pressure to get this done. I'm not questioning Treasury's bona fides or what Momo says, but quite frankly, Chairperson, we've heard this sort of thing before, and this has been dragging on since, I think, 2017 on our side as a committee on your side, so the six costs. Secondly, so we're covering both the independence of the ombud person and the legal provision for the ombud. It is absurd, actually, that there isn't a legal provision for it. And secondly, you know what we hear, Mr. Kieswetter, the commissioner, relations are good. And Mr. The SARS commissioner says, well, you know, we don't like compromise there. I think it was compromise the independence. That's not the issue, the greatest respect to the commissioner. Right? The judge and the commissioner get along fine. And tomorrow will be another judge and another commissioner. So we can't bank on this personal relationship or the generosity or congeniality of respective heads. I think Dennis is right about, actually, I meant to say that at the beginning, it's tax experts that are coming to us, but they also have their own agendas, Chairperson. And sometimes we don't agree with them and sometimes we do, but at least half of what they were saying they agree with. Then on the issue of approaches made to SARS. It's absolutely clear to me that the commissioner gave us a very good input, Chairperson. But a lot of it doesn't, well, it gives a background, he's explaining things, I think it's a very good background in my view, but it doesn't quite necessarily always answer specific questions. So, for example, on the VAT and diesel funds, the judge has approached, if I understand what he said, Chairperson, he's approached SARS before, and he seems to say that, you know, they don't, from what I can gather, maybe I've got it wrong, the judges is here and the CEO is here, they speak to himself, but they're not getting much of a response. Maybe the commissioner would like to respond if that's my understanding of the judge, or the judge might say, no, Eunice or Chairperson, you've got it wrong. On the SMMEs and so on, the judge says, well, it's not just SMMEs, obviously, presumably disproportionately they suffer, but it's all businesses, which I must say is concerning, though I heard the commissioner's reply. Finally, Chairperson, I do want to say that, you know, Chairperson, we've observed this before, and I have, I think, exchanged with the Legal Services Unit once, if I'm correct, or maybe I haven't, I can't recall, offline, I think I did. You see, Chairperson, there are some people who come here with their own individual problems. They lose out with SARS. Particularly, they must go to the ombud if they've got a case, huh? But they come to Parliament, and they present their own specific concerns, or maybe one or two other, say, businesses as their own, Chairperson. And then they present it like it's a cluster or a constituency or a group of people, but really it's one or two people. Now, we have before, Chairperson, said that we cannot have individuals bring their specific complaints to this committee and the joint committees. it's not something that we have legal authority over. That must be dealt with through the processes and the legislation that spell out what SARS does, and hopefully the Ombud will get more powers, and the Ombud must deal with it where they have a case before the Ombud. But they come here, so Chairperson, we must plead that you and I need to talk about it offline with the committee secretaries, not just to allow anybody to come, and where they're not sure whether the person is taking up their own complaint in whatever ostensible representative's capacity, then, you know, they must consult with you and me, and we must decide. Ultimately, it resides with us. We'll note it in a committee and explain why we turned somebody down. But as you know, Chairperson and new members, the Constitutional Court, if I have this right, said that Parliament's obliged to listen to everybody, meaning take what they say into account in terms of public hearing. It doesn't mean that everybody is qualifying for an oral hearing. You can get 100 people wanting oral hearing, then you might agree on 30, but the other 70 submissions in written form has to be presented before the committee and discussed just as we do oral hearings. I want to repeat, I think our committee, again, Helen and Nkululeko can look it up, but what we said the last time round in our, I think, budget report is that while we believe that SARS is doing very well overall, we think that there has to be a need for them to respond because after all, as the commissioner accepts, this is Parliament and we have to deal with these issues. So it's not as if a commissioner or Ombud for that matter, or Treasury, that we're saying that SARS is not doing a good job. In fact, there's a leap, I think, of progress in the last 2-3 years, and we must congratulate SARS as I think other members have. But at the same time, I think Dennis is hinting, and to some extent or other, I agree with him, that the SARS Commission is slightly too defensive, but that may be a very subjective feeling, and I don't think that the Commissioner needs to respond. All I'm saying, Chairperson, our task, as I see it, is to ensure that the legislation gets going, and that in law, not just in practice, they have the operational independence. I mean, imagine a judge also chairing a structure like this. It's almost like more demeaning than if, you know, any non-judge had chaired it, because, I mean, the judges are, by their very profession, very, like, independent. And that's what the Constitution provides for. So, Chairperson, I really think we shouldn't let this matter of the bill being brought to Parliament lie within Momo and Treasury's commitment to within a year. I'm pleading for that, but I'll go by what the majority desire. Thank you.
Thanks, Comrade Yunus. Let's get responses from Judge Mwepe, Commissioner Kiseta, and the National Treasury. If Momo has left, he said the younger will hold the fort. Judge Mwepe, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. As a result of some important observations made by Mr. Karim, I'm going to speak less than I was otherwise going to. First, let's clarify something, and I'm sure we all appreciate that today and this process is not a contest between the tax ombud and the and SARS. Indeed, it cannot be, given the way that these offices sometimes engage from time to time. And I'll refer to that in another context when I answer Mr. George's question. I say it's not a contest between OTO and SARS, because we came here as a result of the questions. You probably got some feedback from members of the public, raised issues with you, and then quite correctly, as the public representatives, you said, no, we are going to have to ask the commissioner and the OTO to respond to these questions. And that's why we restricted ourselves only to these questions. I didn't want to go beyond the questions which you raised, because otherwise I would have been more detailed and a lot more could have been said. But it's a pity Mr. Momoniat is not here. We have heard this argument which is raised before. The report by Judge Nugent has nothing, but absolutely nothing to do with the issue that we are raising. It's not an impediment to the issue that I'm raising, not at all. And also, perhaps, let's not fudge the issues here. One of the complaints that I have is not necessarily the fact that we are not structurally independent. One of the complaints I have is that two successive ministers of finance simply did not respond to my correspondence, even though I submitted to them a report that had been commissioned by our office, for which we paid millions, which investigated possible formats or shapes which the office could take in being established, precisely because I was trying to deal with this situation where, sitting there as a judge, I'm the head of an institution which in law does not exist. And I keep on telling people that please rectify this situation. Two successive ministers simply did not even acknowledge receipt of my correspondence and all those documentation and commission reports that were submitted to them. How can we not be worried about such things? I've got to say this, Chairperson. This is one of the, tomorrow there's going to be a launch of my book to which all of you, all political parties have been invited. You may not be there, you may be there. It is an apolitical book. It's not a political book. The title of the book is Rich Pickings Out of the Past. In that book, I raise issues such as these, that there are things that we simply don't do which should have done in this country, which is why we have got this kind of difficulties. And I sit there, I raise an issue with two successive ministers. They simply don't even acknowledge receipt of the letter. That is not how public power should be exercised. And I'm doing this office, not for my personal benefit. I told you, Mr. Karim, last time, I said, I will never have problem with SARS because I have no money. And I'm not establishing this office for my personal benefit. It's true. As one of the members have just said, I leave at the end of February, at the end of September. But my desire was, by the time I leave this office, it should be soundly, legally structured because it is meant to outlive all of us. It cannot survive on the basis of my popularity or lack of popularity as Bernard Mwepe. What happens if I go? Now, that brings me to the point which was made by Mr. George. He asked whether this anomalous situation of lack of proper independence on the part of the OTO impacts negatively on taxpayers. The answer is yes and no. And perhaps not only just yes and no, but in fact that it is irrelevant whether it impacts negatively or not. It is a situation which is legally untenable. We don't even have to go so far as to ask whether or not it affects taxpayers positively or negatively. We should just say it is legally untenable. It must be rectified. Nevertheless, I've got to say that yes or no, it does not negatively impact on taxpayer that much. You know why? As a result of the point that which Mr. Karim has just made, because of the good relationship between myself and all the previous commissioners. Now, you don't run a state institution on the basis of the good relationship between people occupying the offices. And I worked well with all of them. And to remind Mr. Momonia, it was Mr. Moyani. After he came, he was appointed the commissioner. When I was about to come to Cape Town to come and address your committee, a ticket had to be bought for myself to fly from Joburg to Cape Town and to get accommodation there. And Mr. Moyane phoned me. He said, Judge Mwepe, what is this? I said, what is it, Mr. Commissioner? He says, these people are asking for me to approve the purchase of your ticket to go to Cape Town. They are also asking me to approve for you to have a reasonable, comfortable car in Cape Town. They are also asking me to approve payment for your accommodation in Cape Town. I said, Commissioner, that is how the act is drafted by SARS in order to put some restraints on the office, on the tax on board. He said, I'm embarrassed. I said, well, Commissioner, That's the way it is. And that is exactly the way it is. So it impacts negatively, say, on the office of the tax ombud, because it gives the public the perception that the tax ombud, whether headed by a judge or not, is in fact not independent. It causes them to ask the question, if the judge at the tax ombud has got to get permission from Mr. Kiesweather to go and attend, to buy a ticket to go to Cape Town to address Parliament, how can that person independently, impartially, really protect me against Mr. Kiesweather? That is the point. We don't seem to appreciate some of these points. It's irrelevant whether or not in any event it causes that kind of impact or not. Let us just learn to do the law according to the law. That is what I plead in my book. Anyway, I'm not here to sell my book, but it's just that I'm reminded of this kind of thing when we begin to argue about this thing, and somebody comes from Treasury and he tells you that we are addressing this problem. He says something about Nugent, an issue that has been there, I've been raising as a lawyer, as a judge, for 5-6 years, and nobody does anything about it. That cannot be correct, Chair. And, well, I would have said more, but Mr. Karim has convinced me that your committee is taking the matter very seriously. It may not be that you will rectify the situation before my departure, and indeed, I'm realistic. I don't expect you to do that. The period is just too short. But I'll be led to my grave with a heavy heart if I'm going to come to a point where years later, South African taxpayers are still left in this position, are left in a position where they must be protected by an institution which is at the mercy of and another institution over which he's supposed to, as it were, exercise some oversight. It is not right. I think I should stop there, Chairperson. By the way, yes, there's a cooperation between the two offices. Myself and Mr. Kiesweather have this standing arrangement. From time to time we meet, we drink tea, we discuss issues so that we can work better in the interest of the collection of tax. But let us do things the correct way as a nation. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Mwepe, for your response. Over to you, Commissioner Kiesweather.
Thank you, Chair. Let me respond to some of the questions, and I'd also like to give Mr. Kingan at the end an opportunity to speak specifically about the claim that SARS does not respond to the Office of the Tax Ombudsman. Just for the committee's information, Mr. Kingan manages the relationship between SARS and the Ombudsman. Let me say unequivocally to the chairs and the members that we welcome any feedback. We accept that we will even be criticized at times, and we assure you that we'll always respond in a way that is substantive. To Honourable Member Dennis Ryder, on the issue of international number, I think it's a transactional question. I think we have given response. There is an international number, but we take the point that you may feel this number isn't always answered, and that may be because of different time zones. We will see how we can address that going forward. So thank you for that feedback. on the issue of fair treatment, I want to give you the assurance that I stake my reputation on that. I believe in fairness, and I'm very clear that within SARS, I will not tolerate any behavior that meets out any treatment to any taxpayer that cannot be explained or defended on the principles of fair treatment. And to the extent that that is present, the tax staff or employee that may do that outside of our guidelines, we will take that seriously. I think there's also the need to continually review all of our practice in terms of the principle of fair treatment. I can assure you, Honorable Ryder, there are no elephants, or for that matter, any elephants, or for that matter, any animals in the room. We treat every taxpayer, regardless of their standing in society, in the same way. And you can hold us to that. We have continuously said we will administer the law without fear, favor, or prejudice. And again, because we are an organization of 12,500 people, people are our weakest link. People are subject is the cause of risk. They're subject to being influenced, to be persuaded. And even we have come across instances of employees deliberately colluding with taxpayers. Where those matters are dealt with, and I've previously given more color around that, we will act decisively to deal with those employees because they are acting in their own name, not in the name of SARS, and therefore they will have to account for that personally. So I want to give you and other members the assurance that there are no exceptions to the way we administer the law, none whatsoever. Let me pause there. Other members raised comments rather than asked questions, but there was one specific question by Honorable Karim that I would like Mark Kenyon to respond to.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members, that I can just quickly take a minute to address this. Very importantly, we always engage and respond to the Ombud, and my office is fastidious in engaging when matters are raised. With regards to one period being subject to audit and another period not being refunded, the system is set up in such a way that if a period is not under audit, it is refunded. Very importantly, though, it is possible for periods to be joined in terms of an audit where they are combined and the refunds would be withheld. But that is only in cases where there's a risk that is in process and has been identified. And I want to reiterate what the Commissioner stated earlier. If there is any malicious and without just cause of delaying a refund by our teams, we take that very seriously. And to the extent that that happens, we do take it up and we deal with it internally. We operate strictly in accordance with the law as we implement this in terms of these cases. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kingham. Chair, let me hand back to you to find out if there are any specific questions that we may have either missed or additional questions the members would like to have answered.
Thanks, Commissioner and your colleague. Let me take Yanga, then I will take Honorable Mahlangu. I see her raising her hand. Can we first take Treasurer?
Okay. Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, colleagues. Good afternoon, Honorable Judge Ngwepe. And thank you for the presentation. I think Momo has already noted how Treasury has been dealing with this issue, but we just want to say to the committee that, yes, we've been engaging with the judge. As such, in 2016, that is the previous minister, made changes to the Tax Administration Act, so as to understand some of the concerns that are raised by judge. And then, for example, we authorized the Office of the Police to be financed by a budget approved by the minister instead of a budget being paid out of a SARS budget. So the budget of the tax ombuds in terms of Section 15.4 that was changed in 2016 was ring-fenced and it became a line item in the ENE. Also, we allow the tax ombuds to appoint the staff of the Office of the Tax Ombuds instead of secondment of the staff from SARS. So we did those things. And then on 23 March 2018, the DTAC issued the report at the behest of the Office of the Tax Ombuds, as the judge has said, regarding the institutional options assessment business case recommendations for the office. And then we engaged with the Office of the Tax Ombuds. As such, hence Momo was linking this to the new Joint Commission of Inquiry, because in the 2020 budget, chapter 4 of the budget review, we had a paragraph entitled Rebuilding Governance at SARS. And then we talked about the new Joint Commission of Inquiry in that paragraph. And then we said, the Office of the Tax Ombuds has proved effective in ensuring that taxpayers are not prejudiced by SARS. Government will strengthen the ombuds and separate it financially and operationally from SARS. And as Momo has said, this was under the auspices, there's the new gen report. So we were gonna deal with this together with all the things that were said in the new gen report. So that was in the budget of 2020. It is on our agenda. But the problem is that in 2020 there was COVID. So we had to have 5 tax bills, both in 2020 and 2021, the disaster management tax relief bills, because we have to deal with those urgent matters. And I must say also, on the 7th of April this year, 2022, our new minister met with the judge to discuss these issues. So we are concerned, and then the minister has tabled in the budget that we will be dealing with this issue in the 2020 budget. But the 2020 budget was before COVID. So both in 2020 and 2021, we had 5 tax bills, as I said, dealing with COVID-related issues. The matter, we are considering it. It's urgent to us, and we understand the importance of all the issues that have been raised by the judge. Thank you.
And of course, Comrade Digelet, over to you.
Thank you. Comrade Chair, and good evening to the judge. I don't know if he has his team on the platform, the commissioner and the team treasurer and their team. Chairpersons, I think having listened to the presentations, which I welcomed, and the responses, I had to go back to the invite, looking at the purpose of this meeting. And when I look at it, it says briefing by the tax ombudsman, SARS and National Treasury on tax administration issues raised by stakeholders during the 2022 budget processes. And I'm asking myself, have we reached the expectation or the purpose of the meeting? And I think Comrade Chairperson Maswanganyi, you have made a good decision to allow Yanga to come before me, and I appreciate what you're saying, because what you're saying, to a certain extent, it speaks to the taxpayers and the issues that might have raised by the stakeholders. But then I don't know. I think maybe the two committees, we need to sit down and look deep into this. if you agree, if majority agrees, it's my thinking. Because I think to a certain extent, we have not fully focused on the purpose of the meeting because of the site issues. I think there are issues that are happening between the three offices, among the three offices. You know, the frustrations that are expressed by the judge when, you know, went to an extent of banging the table. It clicks something to me. And this is a parliamentary committee which is listened to people, and we have the legal minds amongst us in parliament who can make an analysis and assist us as members. Honorable Ryder has raised issues that affect the taxpayers and the stakeholders. And I appreciate that. But my worry is the people whom we expect to give us responses, whom the stakeholders are listening to and expect them to respond to their issues. We hear more of the issues between the offices, how me as an individual who's responsible for the office is affected by the relations of the offices. I'm just saying it, Chairperson, that is something that we cannot look away. And you correctly said it, Honorable Karim Che, that this is something that we have recommended in the last administration, and we have recommended to Treasurer. But it looks like there's something, even though what you are saying to us is that you have good relationships, working relationships, you meet regularly, you drink tea, but that activity or those activities, how do they benefit the public, the South African, in as far as tax is concerned? I just leave it at that, Chairperson, because I'm very much concerned and uncomfortable in the way our meeting went today. I don't know if we have achieved this, but it's good also to outroot these things and put it in the public so that we know what is happening. Thank you very much, Chair. I'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah, Togos. Then it looks like all members who wanted to raise the clarity seeking questions have done so, and there has been responses. Comrade Karim, you want to come back?
Yeah, Chairperson, I just wondered, because we have such difficulties in both committees meeting, and because you are very busy with legislation at the moment, and because I don't see, we've been arguing, the oldest committee chairs, that we shouldn't reinvent the wheel. Every time you have a new committee, it's partly because the members change dramatically. Like, you know, on your side, you have one committee member, Noxie, who was there previously, and on our side, and she came from the Eastern Cape provincial government, I think about 2 years before the parliament rose for the last term. On our side, both Bikileni and I served the entire term on the NA side. We've discussed this matter before, and I hear younger, and I'm very empathetic, as I'm sure most are. COVID hit all of us, and I think our view, I don't know, I can't speak for others, but my view is Treasury works very hard. They have a technically very competent team, and people like Younger and so on, and Mum obviously, and the others, they're very, very good. So is SARS, actually. I mean, they're really very good. And it's really Treasury that introduces legislation to Parliament, after obviously consulting with SARS in this case, on both, and then also obviously in this case, they'll consult with the ombudsperson. So I didn't get around to finishing this. It's very clumsy. But, you know, if you can agree in principle on this, it's like a minute. So this is what guides us, and we write jointly to the minister and the DG if the majority agree, Chairperson. I'd like to have consulted you on this, and that's up to you, but it's clumsy, but something along these lines, Chairperson, so that we don't come back to where we were, and partly picking up on what Dick Lady is saying, as I understand it. Have we got anywhere? My own, and she partly addresses what I feel, that we've got somewhere, but now we need action, Chairperson. And the next time we'll meet with the Ombud, if we get there, is probably, you know, once before he exits. And given his considerable experience, both as an Ombud and a judge, and may I add, Chairperson, I'm sure you also see that you'll speak for yourself, you know, a compliment. I shouldn't let the minutes take this, that somebody else has also mentioned, if not two people. I mean, this judge, Judge Ngepe, has been really outstanding. And we're very grateful, and we, you know, wish him well when he exits the, you know, the role he's currently playing. And of course, many of us, well, I won't be able to get there, but we'll certainly look forward to reading his book. So something along those lines, if I think it's clumsy, people can add to it. If they don't want to vote on it now, we can defer it, and each committee can meet and look at it. But obviously, both of us must decide as committees whether we want this or not. Something along this line that we note, for example, the 2018 SCOF decision that the top tax ombuds, SARS tax ombuds, we can ask somebody like Antonia to look at the correct wording in Polish, she's a tax expert. SARS tax ombud is more clearly, we're not saying it's not, but more clearly, what shall we say, financially and operationally independent of SARS. So something along those lines. I've just got like shorthand notes. Secondly, there's no specific legislation setting out the role of the tax ombudsman, and there's an urgent need for this. That's our noting. Thirdly, something along the line is the ombud has raised the need for this legislation to former ministers of finance, and we'll promise to act on it, but there has not been, let's put significant progress or progress in this regard. Something along the lines of the new, we note also the New Zealand Commission, the Zonda Commission deals with the SARS, and that national interest, the NT intends to, what shall we say, implement some of its recommendations in law, but believes that, one, the legislation referred to Bob is long overdue and needs to be begun with soon, even while National Treasury is converting some, I find the right word, Antonio, Michele, Esther there, or Frank as well, is like converting, whatever the simpler word, some of its recommendations in the legislation. Secondly, the NT needs to consult the Ombuds Office in the processing of legislation regarding its role. Thirdly, a report be presented to either or both of the committees so that we get to have a meeting with Ombuds. If we can't have a joint meeting, Chairperson, your committee preferably, because you deal more with legislation that you can affect. A lot of legislation comes to us is actually 75, so we're preferably your committee, but if it doesn't get done, well, we will have the meeting, ideally jointly, but I mean, we shouldn't hesitate to one of the committees, strictly yours, Chairperson, to meet with the Ombud person and the other stakeholders here. And then say, should the committees, in brackets, committees, not be satisfied with progress on such a bill, a committee bill be introduced within 3 months of that. So by the time we come back, we have a committee bill. We've done this before. There's a precedent, Dick Lady, Noxie will tell you. And really, I really think that, you know, the greatest of this thing to Younger and your excellent team, no, we need action, really. Thank you, Chair. But something along those lines. I don't know what you and the rest of the committee feel. Thank you.
Okay. No. Thanks, Comrade Tunis. I think in the manner you were making the input, it was as much as you were summarizing as to how do we move forward. It is acknowledged that there is a good working relationship between Treasury through the Minister, the Ombud, and SARS. The question that Comrade Digeredi asked is what is key that relationship, how does it benefit the taxpayer? So ours is to make sure that all institutions that support democracy should be well resourced so that they perform or execute their responsibilities without fear, favor, or prejudice. And the same applies to OTO and SARS, which are independent, that we should continue to make sure that they are properly supported. And if you remember in the case of SARS, at some stage, there were so many vacant positions because there was no budget. And Parliament has since responded and passed the budget to make sure that vacancies in SARS are filled. And I think through the Treasurer and the Minister, the same should be done to make sure that the office of the Ombud is well resourced with capable people who are highly skilled to execute the mandate that is before the Ombuds. So we'll also have to take this matter up with the Minister. I will say, Comrade Karim, before we decide as a committee to initiate a bill, let's engage Comrade Enoch, the Minister, that these are our observations as the two committees. Can't he, at the level of the executive, initiate a bill? If it does not do so, I think then we'll come back and discuss amongst ourselves as parliamentarians and look at the possibility of initiating the bill. So we'll take it upon ourselves as the SCOF to make sure that in our next meeting with the minister, this issue should be raised so that at that level, the minister, because it looks like, as Yanga has reported, that Minister Godongwana has met Judge Mwepe, and there are certain commitments that he has made. So in his next appearance to the committee, we'll request him to brief the committee as to what is it that he's doing concretely to make sure that the office of the Ombud is well resourced. On the issue of the new Gen Commission, if you remember, the last time we discussed this issue, it was with Minister Boweni, where he informed the committee that, I'm not sure whether it was him or the president, is appointing Judge Muhoro to look at the recommendations. Let me not talk for him, but something to do as to how are they going to implement the recommendations of the New Gen Commission. Also, I think in National Treasurer's next appearance to the committee, more especially the minister, he will have to take us through as to, since Judge Muhoro, whether she has been appointed or not, I'm not sure, how far are they in implementing the recommendations of Commission, so that out there in the eyes of the public, we are not seen as a government that appoint commissions, task teams, and then the recommendations of those task teams and commissions gather dust in our carpets and no implementation. It will be like wasting the taxpayers' money. So we'll take these matters up with the Minister Godongwana. If there's closing remarks, Comrade Eunice or Comrade Dikeledi, I'm not sure Shenge is here, you will want to make, you can do so. Then we adjourn the meeting. Comrade Eunice, Comrade Dikeledi.
Yeah, Comrade Chair, I think it would help if we took some decision and know whether the committee members agree with us, because otherwise, you know, like, we don't have a mandate. So what I'm suggesting is that we engage with the minister, we write to him and then engage with him as you suggest, right? But we have to have some sort of like resolution or some sort of recommendation, which we go to him with, which the majority in the committee agree with. So there has to be some degree of consensus among the members to suggest, so there's no like saying that we've just acted, you know. We could drop the last one and separate it from beliefs that Yeah, it reads, I've just tightened it a bit, should the committee not be satisfied with progress on the bill, then only will the committee bill be introduced. Not suggesting we introduce a committee bill now. Unless we have that leverage with Treasury and due respect to the minister, I don't think the minister is going to have a problem. But at the same time, we keep getting battered that, you know, Parliament doesn't exercise its oversight. And this matter has been dragging on, I think, since 2018 for the committee that you currently chair. So I think we can change that and take that out, believe that, and then put it as a separate point that the committee will consider, not introduced, what further action to take should there not be adequate progress, comma, including the possibility of. So it, the qualifications consider, but we're not taking such a decision, and the possibility of. So it's two qualifications, and then it means that when we meet in September, either your committee or ours or both, then we can decide what action to take. So it made it much softer. But if people are unhappy with that, we can drop that altogether, but we should have a mover and a seconder, and then that this is a base on which we write. We can polish it a bit, but the sense is all there. The substance is there, and so, you know, we can distribute it to members, in fact, in the next few hours. That is what I suggest, but I'm cool. If people want to drop the whole thing as a mover and a seconder, I'm cool with that. And if people want to drop the last point, or as it now is, we can drop that, or we can take the alternative, which is much more qualified, as I suggested. But in some form or another, we need the committee members to agree, is what I'm suggesting, Comrade Chair. Thanks.
No, Comrade Yunus. Comrade Digaledi, any comment before we move towards closure?
Chair, I think the summary of Honorable Karim it's inclusive of your comment, because it's a process. We cannot just say that we will do that as a committee without consulting with or engaging the ministry and the relevant offices or the relevant team members. I think it's a process we can, that what he's summarizing on is mirroring the two suggestion, and I want to move for that. Thank you.
Yeah, Togoza. So you agree with the route that we are suggesting, that we'll raise the matter with the minister, unless there is no let me not say willingness. There's no movement from the side of the executives, is then that Parliament, through our committees, will be able to initiate the bill. Cool. Any comment? Comrade Yunus, are you raising the...
If somebody else wants to comment, I'm just taken aback that the committee seems to have such a degree of consensus across parties for once, and nobody is saying anything. But what I can do in the meanwhile to make people more comfortable is to do what in fact Dikeledi said. We add a part of it that says the committee chairs will raise this matter with the minister directly as soon as possible. That means we can write to him and we can engage with him in a three-way conversation or whatever. So we put that what Dikeledi said, and then we simply put, should the committee, in brackets committees, not be satisfied with progress on the bill in mid-September, the committee will consider what further action to take, comma, what should we say, something like, and explore the possibility of a private member's bill. So it's a very qualified chairperson. So it covers you, and it covers Dikeledi's point about, yes, Ms. Go, and your point about chairs, and we put it in our resolution. So if there's a mover and a seconder, chair, I'm just a bit surprised how suddenly everybody's got lame. But Chairman, I'm very cool. If you're going to drop this thing, it's fine. But we'll be back with it.
There seems to be consensus.
All right. Okay, good. Then that's it. Okay, good. But I'm amazed Big Mouth Dennis Ryan is saying nothing. But fine.
Consensus on the middle road.
Okay, fine.
That you and me will raise the matter with the minister.
Okay, fine. Fine, I withdraw.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much, Comrade Yunus. Those were the closing remarks, concluding remarks by the chairpersons. Unless there are announcements, Mangweni and Alan, Do we have announcements before we adjourn the meeting?
No announcement on our side, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Alan?
Just tomorrow morning's meeting, 9 o'clock. Teboho sent through the link and supporting documents for the meeting, Chair.
No, okay. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, honorable members of both houses, NA and NCOP. Thanks to the chairperson, Comrade Karim, Comrade Degelet, for attending this meeting. Thanks, Judge Mwepe, Office of the Ombud, the Commissioner Kiset, National Treasury, and other stakeholders who are in attendance. Thanks very much. We'll take the matters that we have raised here forward, as we have agreed that there are issues that we need to elevate to the level of the minister. And then when we meet again, we'll be able to feedback to this forum. And I see Dennis Ryder congratulating the minister, no, the commissioner. Case Sweater is not a minister, it's a commissioner. The commissioner's daughter for the graduation. So we are conveying that on behalf of the two committees, commissioner. Thanks very much. Until we meet again, the meeting is adjourned. Siyabonga, siyathokoza. And cool.